We had left off discussing the basis of Sveik Sveika. We pointed out the Chiddush of the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis, Perek Tes, Halacha Yudbeis, where the Rambam writes that the whole concept of Sveika Daraisa L'Chumra is in fact Midivrei Sofer. The Rambam is bothered by what do you do with the obvious exception of Asham Talui, and two different Girsos in the Rambam. The Girsa that we have is that the Rambam admits when it comes to a Chi of Kares or a Chi of Misa, then Sveika Daraisa certainly is L'Chumra, and that in fact is a Din Daraisa. Many Achronim point out that, again, this is a difficult girsa in the Rambam, in light of what the Rambam had just previously said, that this applies not only in areas of Tumin Tara or Isser Vehetzer, but even when it comes to Arayos, the Shabbosos. Arayos and Shabbosos are classic examples of that which has a Chi of Kares and a Chi of Nisan. If you have this girsa in the Rambam, so therefore apparently you see, and this is what the Piskarav comments in Nazir, that there's a fundamental difference between Kalos versus Chamuros. It's not just a technicality that when it comes to certain Averos there's a Chi of Karban, but rather Chi of Karban that reflects Maisa Avera. And therefore, if a person violates an Avera B'Safek, when it comes to Kalos it's not considered to be a Maisa Avera. There the Rambam writes, it's Sveika Daraisa Mikra Hadin Shebi Lekula, Mashenke when it comes to cases of a Chi of Kares or a Chi of Nisan. And we link that with the Chiddush Iran, for example, in Sanhedrin, when it came to the Sugya of Dover Shein Miskaving. If someone does something Shelo Bekavana, so the Ran writes, even according to Rabbi Shimon, if there's a Chi of Kares or a Chi of Misa, it's Min HaChamuros, in such a case that certainly is considered to be Maisa Aveira. It's only when it comes to Kalos that we assume that Dover Shein Miskaving is considered, in fact, to be Mutter. Good, the other possibility in the Rambam is that it doesn't depend on whether we're dealing with Nisr Karis or not, but rather, Ikve Yisura. This is what the Rambam spells out in Hilchos Shgagos in Periches. When is it that you're chayiv in Asham Tolui? Only in cases where the Isr is considered to be Kavua. So if, for example, a person absolutely ate chaylev, and there's no suffering as to whether the Chetz Shel Isr exists or not, it's just a question of suffering and shir. Or if there was in front of the person a shir of chaylev and a shir of shuman and he ate one not knowing which one, in that case also ikvi surah. In those instances, one in fact will be chayv and asham tali. If you're dealing with a case, for example, of chaticha achas, or it's safek chaylev, safek shuman, or you're dealing with, for example, a case of a safek nida, an instance where we don't even know if the iser exists, and then one is not chayv and asham tali. So that's the other possibility in the Rambam. That when do we assume Sveika Daraisa L'Chumra is a Din Daraisa? That's when Ikvi Isura. But if one possibility is that the Isur is not in existence at all, in such an instance, then that's what the Rambam writes, that only Chayish for Sveikos Midivrei Sofer. This is important because of the Chiddush the Pima Gadim has mentioned, that perhaps this is the basis of the Heter of Sveik Sveika, that in essence that every Sveik Sveika is an example of a Sveik Durabaran Lekula. Again, the Rambam does not mention this, but based on the Rambam Shita, one could suggest that possibility. The Rambam might argue as the Rashba, and that is that no, that Sveik Sveika is Midin Rov, it has nothing at all to do, right, with this concept of Sveika Daraisa L'Chumra as being a Din Daraisa Din Durabaran. But once you assume as the Rambam does, that v'chayish for safek daraisa medivrei sofrim, then one could argue that simply is the heter of sveik sveika. Because if one argues that is the basis of this kiddush, then there obviously will be noted exceptions. If you're dealing, for example, with a case of a chiyuv kares or a chiyuv misa, where the first safek is resolved midaraisa l'chumra, or you're dealing with a case of ikve yisura, so in such a case then there's no possibility of assuming that a sveik sveika in fact would be mutter. This line of reasoning is going to be very important for a chiddush that will soon seem in the basis of the ra'ah. You have to start with an issur drabanan, then you can go on to the next step that a safek drabanan is considered to be mutter. However, if your first safek is resolved the chumra midaraisa, then there's no possibility at all of a case of sveik sveik. We'll have to see on Daf Tes Amud Beis, right, the whole issue of sveik sveik when it comes to dini mamonos. And that also, lechora, should be relevant to this issue. If you assume that Sveik Sveik is based on the first stage, which is the Midaraisa, a Sufik is the Kula, that can exist when it comes to certain Isurim, but it's not going to apply when it comes to Ikvi Isura, or when it comes to Chiyuv Kares, or when it comes to cases of Dini Mamonos. And perhaps therefore Sveik Sveik would be relevant. We would assume that Ein Motzi Miyada, that was the Aura of Ravi Kiveger, and Ksuvas and Dafya Beis and Medbeis, that if you're working with this reasoning of the Rambam Shita, so in such a case one obviously would distinguish between cases of Mammon as opposed to cases of Isser. Good? The other possibility is what the Rashba writes explicitly in the Tshuvas in Chelek Aleph and Siman Tav Aleph, and that is that Sfeik Sfeik is Midin Rov and it's Adif Mirov. Right? If the Torah tells us that Holchinach Harov Acharavim Lahatos, so therefore that is the basis of Sfeik Sfeika. Conceptually, this certainly are different. When we usually speak of Rov, we speak about an actual Rov versus a Miut. We're dealing with Sfeik Sfeika. We're not talking about simple percentages in actual terms. Rather, we're talking about Sadadeh Hasafeh. Conceptually, one can justify this outcome based on conceptually possibility A, possibility B. When it comes to normal halacha of Rov, so therefore it really means that a person can finger and say that chances are this did or did not occur. Sfeik Sfeik is a similar concept that you're dealing conceptually with that possibility. That in Lamdus, there are a couple of possibilities, Sadadeh Hasafeh, to assume that we should be Machriya. For example, Lehete, and this is the Chiddush of the Rashba, Sfeik Sfeik is Midin Rov, and the Rashba writes perhaps even Adif Mirov. In fact, the Shiv Shmaitza points out in the very opening piece that this is the Rashba L'shitase, because the Rashba is very clear that the concept of Sfeika Daraisa B'chumra is a Din Daraisa, it is not a Din Darabanan. And this is what the Ran writes explicitly as well in Kedushin, and Daf Tezvav Medeis, Madapi Harif. So if you assume that Sveika Daraisa B'chumra is a Din Daraisa, you don't even have the possibility of understanding as the Prima Gadim did Bidasa Rambam, and therefore the Rashba writes the Chiddush that a Sveik Sveik is based on a completely different mechanism, that it works in fact Midin Rov. We had raised the issue previously, we won't resolve it as of yet, but very simply, how does this fit in on the Rashba Shita generally? The Rashba was the one that maintained in the Sugya Chul, and even if something is a Sveik Sveika, that absolutely Tzarech Levarir. What's the halacha when it comes to Rov? Does that tone birur, or is that not? One, in fact, could argue that if Rov is Mevarer, Rov is Machriya, so in such a case, maybe that even applies in cases where it's Efshelevarer. So there are some Rishon that maintain, that's what Rashi writes explicitly in Chulin and Daf Yabez Mevez, I mentioned earlier, and that is that when is it that we have a right to rely on Rov? Rashi says that's only in a case where it's Lo Efshelevarer. But if Birur is possible, then we do not assume simply the difficulty we pointed out is the following, that the Rashba does write in one place. This is the Rashba in the Kuntra Safron in the end of Yevamos. Right, it's found in the end of Chelek Gimel of the Rashba, right, in the Ha'aros, the Perek Tezayin of Yevamos, and Daf Kuf Yutes. There, the Rashba writes that we follow Rov, even b'makom de Efshelem Eikam Anosin. When the Pasuk says, it's even in the case of Efshelem Arim. So that again we'll have to discuss as we learn a little bit more. The Chiddush on the one hand that the Rashba writes Sfeik Sfeike is Midinro, and yet Sfeik Sfeike is Tzarech Levarer, but when it comes to actual Rov, the Rashba writes in the Kuntra Safron Yevamos that the only time we rely on Rov, and we rely on it generally, even if it's a case of Efshel Levarer. So again we'll have to discuss that point, learn a little bit more, that apparent steer in the Rashba. There is a Chiddush that the Nesiva suggests simply as to the Makor of the Rambam Shita. How does the Rambam know this issue, that the whole concept of a Sveika Daraisa L'Chumra is a Din D'Rabbanan, exception of the case of Ashem Tovi? Is there any Makor that the Rambam can use, right, for the Shita? So the Nesiva writes, it's found in the Shulchan Aruch itself, in the Chavos Das, right, in Simin Kuf Yud, right, the Nesivas has, right, a piece which is called the Beis HaSafek, where he discusses various principles pertaining to these halachos hasfekos. He writes the following, that the source of the Rambam Shita, with the great Kiddush Lahalacha, he writes, is the following. It's the Sugi and Sota and Daf Chav Tes, where the Gemara talks about different cases of Safek Tuma. The Gemara raises the following kasha, that Reb Gidol says that, look, we have an apparent steer in Sukkim, that the Pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Zayin, V'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achem. Any basar, the reference to the Pasuk in Pasha Shemini is referring to Basar Kodshim, asher yiga b'chol tamei, so lo ye'achel, if you have Kodshim that are tamei, in such a case it's asr b'achila. So the Gemara says the following, that means tamei vadai. That's when there's an isr of lo ye'achel. Hasafek ye'achel. That's Rav Gidl's kasha. The habasar asher yiga means if you have the sar kodshim that are tami b'taras vadai, that is asr b'achila. What's the kasha? The pasuk tells us kol tahar yochal kodesh. Any person who is absolutely tahar, he is allowed to eat the sar kodeshim. So the kasha of Rav Gidol is tahar vada yudi yochal, avol safek lo yochal. Some implications of the pasuk seem to be the opposite. When it comes to the sar kodeshim, so the pasuk says that which is vada tamei lo yochal. The implication is if it's safek, it's mutar b'achila. When it comes to gavra, so in such a case we say vaday tohar yochal. If it's safek, lo yochal. So isn't that a stira? What's the halacha of safek tuma? The safek tuma mutter or safek tuma asr? When it comes to basar, you get the impression that safek is mutter. When it comes to gavra, the individual, safek, it seems to be asr. So Rav Gidol answers, enochinami, that's the halacha. What are the principles of safek tuma? So one element you always have to consider is whether the suffix was Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRambim. What's the other consideration? That's that sugyan, Sokhav Chavtes, whether Das Li Shoil. Are you dealing with a person or are you dealing with an inanimate object? When you're dealing with Basar Enochinami, so in such a case, a suffix is Tahor. When you're dealing with Adam, then suffix is Tameh. After all, the whole source of Safek Tuma is derived from Parshas HaSota. So therefore, number one, Sota is referring to a Makom Stira. That's Rishus HaYachid. Number two, it's Das Li Shoel. You deal with individuals who can shed light, right, on what in fact occurred. So that's what Rav Gidol says. That's an important Din D'Oraisa. A Safek Tuma, there's a difference between Basar, Heftzeh, as opposed to Gavra. What does it have to do with us? So Nesivus writes the following chiddush. The whole stira of Rav Gidol and the great chiddush that this is the makor of Das Li Shoel is based on the following chiddush. When the Torah speaks, it speaks in absolute terms. No? The Nesivus writes here, let the Yisura, there's no ribui in the pasuk to indicate either way. How did Rav Gidol know that this was a stira? When it comes to basa, the Torah indicates that a suffix is mutter. When it comes to gavra, the pasuk indicates that a suffix is aser. The answer is very, very simply. Whenever the Torah speaks, it speaks the Torah's vada. So therefore, if the pasuk says that lo yeachel, if you have basa that is tummy, it cannot be eaten, it means that which is tummy the Torah's vada. If the Torah says that the gavra must be tahar, called Tahar Yochal, Tahar means B'Torah Zvadai. So if Tameh means B'Torah Zvadai, that's Asr. And Tahar means B'Torah Zvadai, which is Mutter, that's the stira of Rav Gidol. Now, what's the halach of Safek? You have opposite implications. So therefore, he says, Mizemu Chachnami, Tishani ben Hechad Akasa Rachmana Kumese, the Sheval Tase. When it comes, for example, to every lav, so therefore, for example, lo yeachel, it means that which is absolutely forbidden. And therefore, the Rambam Raisef would be a case of Safek, Midaraisa Safek would be Mutter. If you're dealing with something the Torah requires, Bekumvese, for example, a case of Kol Tor Yochal Kodesh, that means one who is absolutely Tahar. If there's any Safek, Enochinami is considered to be asur. That's the chiddush that Nesivus writes. Lishne dekra mashmuta al vadai velo al safek. That's very important. That's the basis. He writes the Rambam Shita. So if a Torah says something is asur, it means absolute. If there's any safek, enochinami, that's considered to be mutter, the sfeik of the rice of the chumra. Right, there's only a din d'rabbanan, unless you're dealing with a case like Hashem Tolli, where the Torah goes out of its way and tells you differently. So therefore, the Nesivus writes the following chiddush. If this is true, for example, when the pasuk says regarding a kohen gadol besula yikach isha, it means absolute the besula b'taras vaday. Any suffix certainly would be awesome. And furthermore, v'chein l'kichas esrog v'achilas matzah. The same thing when it comes to every mitzvah saseh. If the Torah says that one must do a mitzvah saseh, so in such a case it means that it must be b'toras Vadai, v'lo b'safek. Kamo d'dorish tohor vadai, v'lo safek. That's his chiddush, according to the Rambam Shita. Just like the Rambam writes that Sveika d'orais v'chumra is only a din d'rabanan, the chumra of that Shita would be, is that when the Torah says that you absolutely must fulfill the mitzvah, if there is any degree of safek, that is considered to be insufficient. Because the Torah tells you absolute terms. Now, that's the chiddush that the Nesivos writes. According to this chiddush, the Nesivos, if you have a sveika, for example, in a mitzvah asay, in such a case, one perhaps could argue that that's insufficient. What are you going to argue? That hokanach aharov, and chances are the mitzvah is fulfilled. The whole basis of the Rambam Shita is whatever the Torah requires, right, it does so in absolute terms, not in cases of safek. And therefore the difference between kumvesei as opposed to the case of sheval tasa. When the Rashba discusses the whole issue of sveik sveik, we began dealing with yesterday, the Rashba quotes our Gemara in the following sense. This Rashba is found in the Torah Sabayis, in Bayis Dalid Sharbeis. Rashba begins by quoting the view of Rabbi Yitzchak HaZaken, the Ri HaZaken, that writes the following chiddush: the lo omru sveik sveik al ha'akel, ela b'shtei sveik al sabaos mikoach shtei taruvos. The only time we have the concept of the sveik sveik, which is the kula, is if both sveikos are bitaruvos, that we touched on yesterday. You have object A that falls into B, and an item of B falls into C. So therefore, the shtei taruvos, so in such an instance, then you have a right to say, right, the sveik sveiko. Avol ba'alma, but in other cases, she'ino b'mikoa shtei taruvos, lo, that would not be true. So therefore, the Ri HaZaken maintains, that Gemara we just said yesterday, beis adaf gimlumud beis, the case of a beis ha-safek, safek mutsa, shenis arva, that certainly is considered to be asur. That's not a safek of shtei taruvos. There is safek echad v'gufo, safek echad v'taruvos. And in such a case, that's considered to be asur. That's the shita of the Ri HaZaken. So even if it was a safek, beis ha-shenoda, shenis arva, that is considered to be asur. Rashba writes, l'di kashali. This is a very difficult shita, the Ri HaZaken, to assume that the only time you have a sveik sveik is b'shtei taruvos. How can that be? What do you do with the case of perikamadik suvas, our sugya? In our case, what's the suffix? Tachtov, no tachtov. Ones versus ratzon. V'hosam, the Rashba writes, ain't suffix bos mikoch ha-taruvos. There's no suffix taruvos whatsoever. We're not talking about the cheftishel iser shenis arev. So how can you limit sveik sveik at the shtei taruvos? In our sugya, that's not true. That ain sveik bos mikoch taruvos. And yet the Gemara says the sveik sveik is lakula. So Rashba answers that no, v'yeshli lomar, the hosam shiny. Our sugya is a different type of sveik sveik. Why is that? Sheyef shelazu lavu lefanecha. In our Gemara, it's impossible to separate Safek Gav and Safek Mi. Both occur simultaneously. When there was the latest Safek of Pesach Pasuach, immediately two issues come to mind. Taftav, Lo Taftav, Onus versus Ratzo. Via to Yokola Hachra Velomar de Heich Natir Ukfaras Rasa. You can't separate them in the sum. How can I be Matir in light of the second Safek when this first Safek has been resolved, has been determined for the purpose of Isser? For example, in the case of Safek Muktza. Safek Muktza, already the first Safek is resolved Lachumra. Even if that Beitza now becomes intermingled with others, we don't assume Chozer Veneir that the first suffix resurfaces. So So in the case of no debiyantif miyat amdaleno beisr, and it's only achar kach nis arva bacheros. Mashenkin and our Gemara, where the two sfeikos are simultaneous, then even the Rihal Zokin would agree. You don't require a sfeik sfeik of two tarugos. That's the chiddush. So in a case of sfeik echad gufo sfeik echad bitaruvos, sugin beitz and daf gimel, in such a case that's not a sfeik sfeik, because the first sfeik is resolved. Mashenkin and our Gemara, or the two sfeikos, chabav asachas. So in such a case, then even without a suffix bitaruvos, you can label something as a sfeik sfeik. That's how the Rashba understands right, the sheet of the Rihazak. If you look here in the Bera Kabais, the Aros of the Ra'ah, disagreeing with the Rashba, right, the classic Torah Sabayis, this is found on right, the Chavdalim Abayis. The Ra'ah writes a very different understanding of this sheet of the Rihazake. They're talking about very different cases, but it's quite similar to the Prima Gadim Schiddush within the Rambam. The Ra'ah writes the following Chiddush. Why is it that the Rihazake assume that you need Shtei Taruvos? The only time you can apply Sveik Sveika is in a case where the first Safek, the Isser is only Nisa Durabam. Then you can go on and address the second Safek. But if you were to have a case where the first Safek is the Chumra Midaraisa, nothing to discuss. That's why the Rihazakin requires Shtei Taruvos. The case that we have Zalkin is you have the Cheftah Shel Avodah Zarah that becomes intermingled in Group A, and then something from Group A becomes intermingled with Group B. Midaraisa, Bittul should apply even in Group A. It's only a Chumra Derabanan that there's certain Isurim or certain objects, for example, Dabar Chashuv, that's not batel. For example, not sugin beitz and not gimel. Perhaps a beitz, a davar chashuv, the Gemara suggests, and therefore it doesn't lend itself to bittul. But that's all true midrabanan. Midaraisa, even a single safek is sufficient. So that's the chiddush the Ra'ah explains with the Rihazake. The only time we allow a sfeik sveika, the low arminon sfeik sveika shari daraisa, elahecha de sfeik rishon shari midaraisa, ela midrabanan asir. That's a very great chiddush. If you're dealing with the case where midaraisa, all you require is a single sfeik, and the need for anything more is only midrabanan, then you can invoke a sfeik sveika. For example, Kugon Hab Taruvos, like the case the Riozakin is speaking about. Midaraisa, there's Bittul in the first Taruvos. See, even though Midrabanan were Machmir, if now Nisarva Ba'acheros, so that becomes a Sveik Sveika. That's exactly the reasoning of the Prima Gadim in the Rambam Shita. The Rambam writes this about Sveika Daraisa L'chumr in general. The Ra'ah is talking about Bittul. But the Lundus is quite similar. Whenever the Safek Rishon is resolved Midaraisa Bakula, that's sufficient. However, Kolhecha the Safek Rishon Mitzvah Midaraisa, so in such a case, this fake fake is not going to help you. How does that resolve itself in our cases? So here the Ra'ah writes, great, great Chedusha. The case of the Beitza Shanoda, the Beitza Smukza. That is treated as a Dindaraisa, or perhaps Ke'en Daraisa. after God. The Gemara invokes in the very beginning of Beitzin, and that's Sukkim Daf Gimel Hachana Derava. That's not a pure Din Derabanan. At times that's an Issa Daraisa. Sometimes Eino Chinami Kein Daraisa. That's the Chiddush that Ra'ah writes. In a case of a Beitza which is Safek Mukta, that's treated as a Din Daraisa. And therefore there's no possibility of Sveik Sveika. Not because Echad Begufo, Echad Betaruvos, and you can't combine those two Sveikos because Kfar Neser. It's because the first Safek Midaraisa is insufficient, because that is treated as a Din Daraisa. That's a very great Kiddush. Let's assume, for example, you have a Beitza of Safek Trefa. V'chein atadon b'Safek Trefa. You have a Beitza, and you have reason to believe that it is a Trefa. What would the Pesach Halacha be? Sveika Daraisa v'chumra midaraisa. Against the Rambam. So therefore, even if Nisarva Bacheros, that won't be called a Sveik Sveika. Because the first suffix is resolved the chumra midaraisa against the Rambam Shita, but the lundus is the same. The first suffix has to resolve issa daraisa, and if all you're left with is an issa derabanan, now you can invoke sveik seika. That's the chiddush. There are. So if you have a beisas muktza hachana deraba, we treat that as a din daraisa. If you have a beisas trefa, if it's a suffix trefa, sveika daraisa lachumra. So since it itself is a surah midaraisa, so therefore, even if these arva bacheros, it is not called a sveik seika. That's the chiddush thereof. And what do you do with argamara? Argamara has a sveik seika. So you mean to say in argamara, if there was a single suffix midaraisa, that would be sufficient? And therefore, that allows us to come on to Sveik Sveika in order to resolve any Din Derabanan. So the Rav says, absolutely. The Hasam Nami in our Sugya. Safek Rishon Materes Min HaTorah. Why is that true? The Mukmina Lei Achazaka Dehetera Amliyubu. Not only is our Tosis Lotzricha, what was Tosis is Kasha? Why does the Gemara discuss Safek and Sveik Sveika? What about the Cheska Seter? The Rav says that's the punchline of our Gemara. The Gemara assumes, of course, there's a Cheska Seter. Because the only time you can apply the principle of Sveik Sveika is if the first Safek Midaraisa is resolved the Hetera. So since there's a Cheska Seter, Mikar Hadin should be Mutter. So that allows for a Sveik Sveika to resolve any problem in Rabbanan. Well, that's a great Chiddush. Safek Rishon Materes Min HaTorah. Mukminin Leah Chazaka DeHeterah. That's the first Teres of the Rav. If you look back in the Rashba, and the Mishmeres Abayins, and the outer margin, you hear the Rashba, attacks this position of the Ra'ah. That's not, absolutely not true. You don't require that the first suffix must be resolved midaraisa before you can move on. After all, the Rashba writes, the case is the Ra'ah. If anything, the opposite is true. In the case of the Gemara Beis and Daf Gimel Beis, suffix muktza, that certainly is only a din derabanan. It's true that there can be an occurrence of Hachana Derabah, that Yantiv is not Mechin the Shabbos and Shabbos Mechin the Yantiv. But in a straight case of a Safek Muktzah, that's only a Din Derabanan. And furthermore, our Gemara, there's a Chazaka Dehetero that resolves Lakula. And therefore, midaraisa, a single suffix is sufficient. Of course not. Here the Rashba writes that, what do you mean? A single suffix is aser mikar hadin. Why? Because after all, there's a cheskas haguf. Tosus is answered. The cheskas haguf assumes that she was a besula, she remained a besula, and achshav nivala. And va'ol the Rashba writes, shezev vaday the suffix echad asur midaraisa mishum suffix sota. Here, when you have a suffix ishus ishus insa. You see from the parsha of Sota that we don't assume midaraisa, that that is insignificant because there is a chazaka de'etera. Whenever there is a latest hasafek, a chiddush, either al de kinui and steer, that certainly is true, but even through Pesach Pasuach, that does not allow us to apply the chazaka de'etera. The Rav will assume that no, when there's kinui stira raglaim ladavar, that disrupts the chazaka de'etera. If all it is Pesach Pasuach, the chazaka de'etera remains, and therefore mikra adin should be resolved lakula. So take a look. That's a fascinating chiddush, the machlokas between Baran and the Rashba, and how to understand the difference of our sugya and their claim in that sugya in Beis and Daf Gimel. That in the case of a Beis HaSafek, even though it appears to be a Sfek Sfek, it's Aser, either the Lamdas of Safek Echad Begufo Safek Echad Betaruvas, or that no, the Chiddush Dera'ah, right, that the first Safek has to resolve any problem Daraisa. Even though they're talking about opposite Shitas, the Ra'ah doesn't agree with this Rambam Shita. The Ra'ah says Sfek Daraisa Chumer Zedin Daraisa. But in Lamdas, they're so close that the first suffix resolves any problem in Daraisa, and any chumr derabanan can resolve right by the second suffix. This chiddush of the Rashba, that the reason for the sheet of the Ri Hazaken echad beguf echad taruva is because of shekfar asrasa, the suffix A is resolved already, and now you have suffix B. So this, the Shach quotes, is a machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe. The Shach is found in Siman Kuf Yud. In Sifkot and Samach Gimel, the Shach has the Klali Sveik Sveika. In the very first Os, he raises this exact issue. What happens if you had Safek Echad Begufa, Safek Echad Betaruvos? However, the Safek Echad Begufo is only realized La'achar Shinis Arev. In other words, you have a Safek Echad Begufo, Safek Echad Beteruvos, that are Chabav Asachas. We're not talking about a case where I have a Beitz and I know this Beitz is problematic. So I put it aside. And all of a sudden, someone subsequently came and threw it into the bucket. No? I walk into the coop. And I see that there are 100 eggs that are there. And it dawns on me that, you know, regarding a particular egg, there might be a problem of Luktsa. Because maybe it was laid before Yontif, maybe that egg was laid on Yontif. So in terms of the latest HaSafek, you are simultaneously faced with Safek Bubuchosef Betaruvos. What will Acha be in such a case? See, the Shach writes that the sheet of the Beis Yosef is that's called the Sfek Sfeika. Because even though there are very different types of Safek, Echad Begufa, Echad Betaruvos, but both Sfeikas were Chabav Asachas. You can't apply the principle of the Rashba, Shekfar Asrasa, and then the Acharkach Nisarva Bacheres. And the Darkei Moshe disagrees. The Ramah assumes that's not called the Sfek Sfeika. Sfek Sfeika means, like the son of Rabbeinu Peretz, that it has to be the same form of Safek, that you can build one on top of the other. If they're not parallel Sfeikos, Echad begufa, echad betarufos, al pidin, that's not called a sfeik sfeika, irrespective of whether it's chal b'vasachas or whether it's chal b'zachas. The Tosfos Derev Maschil V'I raises a further issue with sfeik sfeika. The Gemara says a sfeik sfeika, that will resolve itself l'kula. If it's a single safek, then we have a problem. As we pointed out, the machlokas, the Rashi from the Rav, whether a problem ikar hadin, or only a problem on the level of the Rabbanon. What's one example of a single safek? Eishes Kohen. What's another example of a safek? An Eishes Yisrael. But it was Vadei Tachto. Kibul Aviyah Kedushin Chusei Baskimul Shamin. So in such a case, there's no safek that perhaps the Maisa Aviyah occurred before she was an Eishes Ish. Impossible. Here, the only suffix is one of onus versus ratzon. So in such a case, the balvin is nem on osrola. So Tosfos is bothered. In that case of an Eishes Yisrael, there still should be a sfeik sfeika. What's the sfeik sfeika? Well, one possible the Gemara spells out explicitly. Onus and ratzon. Was this against her will? Or did she do so willingly? Good. Then Tosfos writes the following chiddush. And vintin tzlam ratzon. But when did this occur? How old was she? Maybe the Maisibi occurred when she was a Ketana. After all, the cases where the Kedushin was when she was Chusin Bas Gimel Shon Hilecha. And if that's true, Pitu Ketan Onesu. Right? The Sugi that Tosfos quotes from Yavamos, Nav Samach Aleph. So isn't that considered to be a Sfeik Sfeika? Onus versus Ratzon? And even if she willingly involved herself in that ma'aseh, but perhaps it occurred long ago while she was a ketana, and pitu ketana onesim. So Tosfos answers, no, that's not called a sfeik sfeika. Tosfos writes, shame ones kahu. Those are just simply two examples of ones. Shame ones kahu. That cannot serve as a sfeik sfeika. Just one short ha'ara, and then we'll continue with the Tosfos. If you look in the Chiddush Rabbi Kiveger, two possibilities in terms of understanding the simple pshat of Tosfos, shame on eschad. One possibility of chorus is simply what we would assume: is it ever pasha? Those are two sfeikos. It's a single suffix. These are just two examples of onus. One example of onus is mamish. Someone was maneser. Another example of onus is maybe she did so willingly, but she was allowed by das, al pidin. That's considered to be an act of onus. Two examples of onus, that does not consider to be a case of sfeik sfeika. But then Rabbi Kiveger mentions maybe there's another possibility in the Tosfos. This will happen a little bit more. The Hemshech of the Tosfos and Tosfos of Tesmah days. Something which is called the Sfeik Sfeika She'eno Misapech. When you have a case of Sfeik Sfeika, let's take our case in the Gemara. The issue of Tachta, Ein Tachta, and Onus versus Ratsa. Those two Sfeikos are absolutely independent Sfeikos. To the extent that your starting point is irrelevant. You can either begin your sfeik sfeika with suffix A or suffix B. And for example, I can say the first suffix is whether it's onus and ratzon. And even if you'll tell me ratzon, eishes ishes insa, maybe it was lo tachto. You can begin the description of the sfeik sfeika beginning with onus. Or you can begin with other variable. This is a case of sfeik sfeika. Why? Because perhaps tachtav and lo tachtav. And even if you say tachtav, perhaps it was an onus. Good? So you see that the two sfeikos are independent of each other, V'harai, you can start with either issue. The onus issue, ratzon issue, or the tachta v'nein tachta. That's called the sfeik sfeik amisapech. You can flip the sfeik sfeik in either direction. And point A does not affect point B. Rabbi Kveger writes, what about the case here? So if I'll present the suffix as follows. We see Pesach Pasuach. One possibility is that she's a Ketana. How old was she when this Maaseh Bi'ah occurred? Was she a Ketana or was she a Gedola? So one possibility is she's a Ketana. No problem. But in Timtzi Lomar, she was a Gedola. Maybe it was an onus. It wasn't Baratzo. That's a good sfeik sfeika. The problem is, can you begin with the onus ratzon issue? Let's say I begin the sfeik sfeika with the onus issue. Suffek onus, suffek ratzon. And in Timtzi Lomar ratzon, maybe she was a ketana. That's not good. No, because ketana is not an example of ratzon. You start just fake sfeika, maybe it was onus. If it's onus, no problem. But if you hold it's a case for ratzon, that's a difficulty. No, because even if it was baratzon, I'll tell you it was a case of a ketana. That Rabbi Geir points out, that's a difficult hemshech, no? You can't say im timtzi lomar ratzon shema ketana, because there is no ratzon when it comes to a ketana. Pitu ketana onesu. You can only begin the sfeik sfeik in one direction. If it's a ketana, no problem. It's a gdola, that can be resolved by one who is ma'anes a gdola. Here, what are you going to say? Im timtzi lomar onus versus ratzon, but if it's ratzon, we're stuck? The answer is ketana. No, ketana is not resolving the possibility of ratzon, because pitui ketana is considered to be an onus. That's the pasuk Rabbi Kveger raises. Maybe what Tosus is telling us is the following chiddush, that you have to be able to prove independence of sfeikos by the ability to frame the suffix in either direction. If that cannot be done, that cannot be called a sfeik sfeika. That's all an extension of the same suffix. So here we have to learn a little bit more. But those are the two possibilities Rabbi Kveger has. You can take a look at the shach, prayer in the klum, sfeik sfeika, and Sifkat Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tesvav. That's where the Shach discusses, is there such a requirement of a Sveik Sveik HaMisafim? Maybe that's one possibility in our Tosis. Now Tosis assumes this should be called a case of Sveik Sveik. Why? Because after all, maybe it all occurred when she was a Ketana. And Pitui Ketana Onesim. Tosus obviously assumes Pitriktan is onesu, and therefore she does not become a Sura Habal. Is that true? Is that necessarily what Pitriktan is onesu means? That even if a Ketana willingly engages in a Maisabiyah, since Al Pidin, a Ketana is Lav Bas Das, she does not become Asura Habal. The fact that she's a Ketana and she willingly engaged in a Maisa via Gili Arayos, obviously she's not a Bas Das, so she doesn't receive any onus for that. She won't be treated as Nashus Ishas Insa, because Pitri Ketana is an onusu. And our Tosus writes, and therefore she's Muteras Al Habal. That's Boshim Shat in the Gemara. And she doesn't become forbidden to the Baal. So good. So Tosa says you have a couple of possibilities. Maybe it's fake sveika. Dilma bonus, and even if it was baratzon, pitik tan onesim. The Rambam absolutely disagrees. The Rambam writes a great chiddush, Nuchosota, in Perak Beis Halacha Dalet. The Rambam writes, let's see, you have a case of ketana shesi avia. A ketana who was married off by her father. In other words, a real kedushin daraisa. The Rambam writes unbelievably, im zinsa birtzona, Nesra Abba. Rambam writes, if you have a ketana, shezinsa, birtzona, she's asur al abal. And therefore, the Rambam writes, lefichach bekaninla. Therefore, the Rambam writes, you can have the whole parsha of sota for a ketana. At least you can have kinui. The Rambam continues, not everything applies to a ketana. But mekaninla, kinui applies. She can be warned. Do not seclude yourself with this individual, because if you do, you will become asra habal. Mamish against our tosis entirely. Our tosis assumes that pita penonusu is a basis of a sfeik sfeik al atira labal. Right? It's not true. Nesra habal. Right? And the rabbi, it screams, how can that be? No? The rabbi writes, v'halo amru. The rabbi quotes the sugin yavamos. The rabbi quotes from earlier, that mama gimel mebeis. Pitik tananasu. This girl does not become a Asura Habal even if she willingly engages in Arayos. And furthermore, the Rambam writes, Mekanima. Hasra l'ktanina hasra. When you give hasra to a ktana, don't seclude yourself with this individual. So where did the Rambam get this chiddush from? Now, this concept that Akhtana Shazinsa Bersona is Nesra Bala. So the Magid Mishnah elsewhere, the Magid Mishnah is found in Hochas Yisrei Biya, Paragimah Halacha Beis. The Magid Mishnah writes, you know what the Makor of the Rambam is? Our Gemara, in the Kash of Tosis. He writes, Mamashiha no Senes. The Gemara says, in a case of Eishes Yisrael, you only have a single safek. Don't you have a sfeik sfeika? Ones versus Ratzon, and even in Tinsloma Ratzon, Pitik Tana Ones, who? The Magmishnah writes, there's a great Chiddush. Ihanos Enes. That's exactly the Makor of the Rambam, that Aktana Shezinse Bertzon is Nesra Bala. Unbelievable. And what do you do with the Gemara Pitik Tan Onesu? Because the context of the Gemara is not just simply that she's not Bas Onshin, she doesn't get a Chiyuv Misa. No, Pitik Tan Onesu, we treat it as an act of onus, and she's not a Sirul Habal. So the Magnishna suggests that the Ram understood the Gemara to be just simply a Dechiyah Ba'om. I love Dafka. But Eino Chinami. Zinse Bersona Nesra Ba'om. So here Rabbi Chanan discusses this in a couple of places in the Kovetz Ha'aretz. One is what we saw earlier, and that's in Siman Ayin Vav. Suggest the following Kiddush. And this Rabbi Chanan you're familiar with. Now, Rabbi Chanan is bothered by the following. The Gemara discusses Nivamas Nafkuf Heim Abeis, whether a katan can do chalitz or not. According to the Chacham, a katan cannot participate in chalitza based on a pasuk of Ish. If not for that pasuk, there will be no problem. How can that be? Doesn't chalitza require some level of what we'll call das? Something. Imamish need exeris a kosev to tell you that a kata no. The Tosus explains the Ayre ba'omer al gamav. Yeah, we're talking about a case where a gadol is there who confirms that the katan has an awareness of what's going on. In Enochinami, then if not for exeris a kosev, we would assume that a katan is legitimate. So Rabbi Chanan discusses, right, that's the background to the next piece we're very familiar with. Is that really true? When is it that we assume it's sufficient to have Omer al Gaba? As long as there's someone there who can affirm that the Katan was aware of what was happening, that's sufficient. And when do we assume that? What do you mean? We require what we call Das al Pidin. And a Katan is allowed by Das. So that's what Rabbi Chana now discusses, that you have to distinguish between two very different categories. Now, called Dvaram HaNasim al Yidei Adam, Yeshnam Shnei Ofanim. Whenever a person does that which affects the result, you have to ask yourself the following issue. Are you considered to be the Bailim over the Chalos, or are you not? No doubt you do the particular act, the particular Maisa, but do you create the Chalos? If the Chalos is Mikoach HaAdam, then you're right. If it's something like Kinyan or something like Kedushin or something like Gerushin, then you require that individual be a full Bar Das. But sometimes you have a case where the Chalos is B'me'elav, like Shchita, for example. Of course it's necessary to do a Maisa HaShchita, but the Heter Shchita is not something you create. You are not considered to be the Bailim over the Chalos Shchita. Those are Rav Chanan's all listed nafkaminas. Now, Tanayim, Shlichus, and Zman, and Yavidol Mahani, and Edis Lekim Adavar, what we discussed earlier. No? I can make a Kinyan al Tanai. I can make a Kedushin al Tanai, a Gerushin al Tanai. I cannot do a Maisa Shchita al Tanai. If you pay me my wages, then it's Besar Shchuta. And if you don't, then it's Besar Neveva. Of course not. Nor can you have a Chalos Shchita, which is La'achar Zman. And Rabbi Chanan suggests, when it comes, for example, to the case of Chalitza, even though no doubt it's necessary to have a Maisa Chalitza, but the Chalitza is similar to Shchit in the sense that the Chalos kicks in automatically. It's not that which you create. And therefore no Shlichos, no Tnai, the possibility don't require it is the Kima Dover for even the Chalitza. Maisa yes, Chalos no. Then Rabbi Chanan continues, right? In those tests, with the fizeh yesh liteim tam, hod the mahani gadol omer al gaba v'chalitza. That's why you can envision the possibility of omer al gaba when it comes to chalitza. Whenever you have a chalos din which is created aydei koach adam, that a katan cannot do. When it comes to chalitza, shaheter chal me'elav al yedei maisa, and the maisa was confirmed because you have a case of gadol omer al gaba, that's considered to be sufficient. Good. Great chiddush. Uvazeh, Rav Chanan continues, yesh laseis tam l'shita saramba. Diktanish is in Sabaratsan. Nes Rabala. Even though it's true, when it comes to Kinyanim, when it comes to Gerushin, when it comes to Kedushin, and Katan and Ktana, Knat and Sirti, B'nei Das, that's true when you create the Chalos. But the fact that an Eishes Ishes in Sazasral Habal, you create that Chalos Isser that requires Das. We discussed earlier that Shibas Maharik and Bias Akum Umala Mal Bashem, it's the breach of Ishus. Good. Omer Mutter. This woman never heard of this Isser of Eishes Ish. So what would you say? Therefore it's Bishogin. And therefore she's not a Sota, she's not a Sural Habal. Forget about her Das. the act alone of an Eishes Ish is Issa. That itself creates the Issa. Abuznus, even though it's true that Ratzon plays a role, if it was Ba'ones, she wouldn't become forbidden to her husband. If it was Baratzon, then she does. Yeah, but nonetheless, she doesn't create that chalos. So the Chiddush Rabbi Yochanan is the following. If you're talking about a case where you create the chalos iser, then al-pidin, you have to be a bardas. If the chalos is simply me'elav, that's not true. All you need is awareness. Onus versus ratzon. But you don't need the level of das b'chala Torah kula that only a gadol can have and not a katan. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. This ketana cannot make kinyanim, and she cannot get married unless it's al yedei aviha. But if she is aware that what she's doing is umala mal v'ashem, so in such a case, that is sufficient for kinoi, that is sufficient to create this ralabal. There's a further piece Rabbi Yochanan has. He writes a very great chiddush. This is found in, again, the Kovetz Aros, in Simin Samach Vav, Os Vav. There's a concept when it comes to Mecca Chumemka of Onas HaPutos, that even though this katan is Lav Bardas and Mi Daraisa, he cannot make a kinyan, but nonetheless Mi Darabanan, when he reaches a certain level of awareness, so then Mecha Mekach Mi Darabanan, his kinyan is meaningful. Rabbi Yochanan raises the following issue. This din d'rabbanan, when a katan is aware of what he is doing, he understands the result of his action. Mi d'rabbanan, he has kinyanim. Is this kein d'araisa? Where do you find that this is true min ha-Torah? Rabbi Yochanan writes the following. That very sugi nivamos. Rabbi says that the shita of Rabbi Yossi is that ketana choletzes mishihi gia la'onas haputas. That a ketana can do chalitza. And Acham disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, after all, because of Ish and Ishisha. You have to be a gadol for Yivma Chalitza. You have to be a gadola for Yivma Chalitza. So this Chiddush Rabbi Yossi Shita, Tana Choletzes Mishigil Anas Aputas. So Rabbi Chaim explains the following. The Shnei Dinim Yeshnan Bekatan. In discussing a katan, when it comes to kinyanim and chalos and the like, there are two halachos. Number one is a katan shlohi giya klaladas, and that's dino kishote. There is a katan who is absolutely unaware of what he is doing. That katan is hario kishote. And then there is a katan pikeach that we certainly see that he is absolutely aware of what he is and what he is not doing. But nonetheless, the halacha that ein maisa katan klum, based on the gzeras hakosov of ish v'lo katan. Bachanan quotes Yerushalmi. How do you know that there's no kinyan when it comes to a katan? Because the pasuk says ki yitain ish, ki yitain matana mekach u'memkar kinyanim. There's only a matnas ish, not a matnas katan. Kiddushin. Only a gadol katan. Why? Ki yikach ish. You don't need a pasuk of ish if a katan is clueless as to what's happening. It means despite the fact that a katan is aware regarding certain halachas, the Torah requires ish. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, it's the same is true when it comes to chalitza. Chalitza requires a gadol and a gdola. According to Rabbi Yossi, that is not dorish the pasuk in that fashion, doesn't have this gzeres hakasav of isha. So there's no halacha that she must be a basdas la halacha in terms of a gdola, but rather all you require is awareness. And that's the halacha of putos. That's the din d'oraisa of Rabbi Yossi. Unbelievable. When it comes to chalitza, din d'oraisa, a ktana can do chalitza. Because here the pasuk does not go out of its way and mention isha v'lo ish, or isha v'lo ktana. And the reason the chachamim disagree is based on the pasuk. So Rabbi Chanan writes, that's an incredible model. It means that everyone would agree if there wouldn't be a pasuk that says ish, the level of kavan, even or a katan or a ktan, would be sufficient. And that's exactly of Yossi Shita Midaraisa when it comes to chalitza. So you have a model Midaraisa that the maisa of a ktan is absolutely meaningful as long as she see gilaputos. So Bachanan writes, that's the din d'rabbanan of Mecha Cholemkar. That even though when it comes to kinyanim, the pasuk goes out of its way and mentions ish, mid'rabbanan, the chachamim recognize putos as the Torah recognizes putos in cases where you didn't have such a gzeres hakasa. This is a great chiddush according to Rav Yossi, chalitza. We don't assume like Rav Yossi. But are there any cases that we also would agree that putos is sufficient midaraisa? Zera B'chanan writes, v'nire sh'ladasa Rambam k'tana shizin sabarasa nesra b'ala. Our Rambam, as a result of the maisa k'tana, she becomes a nesra b'ala. There's no gzeres hakasa of isha, and therefore, as long as she is aware of what she is doing, forget about Rabbi Yossi, even according to the Chachamim, she becomes Asur Labal. That's the Chiddush. Rabbi Chanan adds to the following. The Davar Poshut, when the Rambam says, Aktana, Shezin Sibirson is Nesra Labala, we're obviously referring to a ktana who is Higil Ichlal Das to the extent that she is aware of what she's doing. That's the Rambam writes, Ektana Shezin Sibirsona. Let's assume, for example, she didn't even realize what she was doing, what she was getting herself into. Now that's the first halacha. That a katan shlo higil echlal das are hil kishote. And what is the shir? Rav Chanan writes the kiddush. Putos. If the ktana midaraisa is higil putos, in such a case, then and only then you would apply the principle of the Rambam that a ktana shezin sevirtzona nesra b'ala. She has no das whatsoever, no clue. Even if she wasn't forced, we wouldn't assume that that's true. And then Rabbi Chanan adds, "And hadisu b'gemara, that which the Gemara says that pitu iktan is an onesu, according to the Rambam, who kodem hazman hazeh." That means before when is he gila putas. If you're dealing with a ktana, shalohi gila onas haputas, so such a case, that's when the Gemara says, That obviously is considered to be an act of onus. She didn't resist. She didn't put up a fight. Obviously not. The Chiddush of the Rambam is, once the Ketan is of age, that there is awareness, that is sufficient in order to create Yisrael HaBaal. Abu Chana just writes another nafkamin as well. We just discussed now in the piece of the Nesivos. When it comes to Safek Tuma, it's crucial to realize whether Yesh Bo Das Lishoel or Ein Bo Das Lishoel. Now, the difference between a Safek regarding Basar and a Safek regarding a Chetz of a Gavra. Now, that's the Gemara Sotah, Chavtes. What's the sheer midarais of Das Lishoel? Rabbi Bachanan suggests it's not Gadol and Gdola B'chola Tarakula, Ish and Isha. The sheer of Das Lishoel is Putos. After all, Das Lishoel is derived from the parish of Sota, Asur al Habal. Yeah, that's the Kiddush, the Ram, that Asur al Habal doesn't require a Gdola. Even a Ketanash is in Sibir Sona. Well, that's the Kiddush. So even within Ketana there are two halachos as to whether she's aware, whether she's not, whether it's onus, whether it's ratzon. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. Then you certainly don't have, right, the sfeik of Eretosis. Maybe it was onus, maybe it was ratzon, and even if it's ratzon, pitzik tanas onus, certainly not. Because if this was a willful act, she mamish becomes a Asur HaBaal. Aye, the Gemara says, Pitik Tan Onasu, the Rivas Kasha. Yeah, well, Chana writes, that means Lohi Gila Pu'utos. If it's a Ketana who is, you know, Kishota, in such a case, that's not an expression of Ratz in any shape or form. Right, so these are the two pieces Rabbi Chana has. Right, very great Kiddush. Makoba Shirman Arsugi refers you to the second one. Right, but in light of this earlier one, it's in the Samach Vav. It's beautifully clear. This Kiddush of the Rambam sheet. Okay, we'll have to continue with the Tosis and the Pesach Aleph, and then start testimony.